concerns me as pastor too, that most saints are not praying in terms of corporate prayer. I'm not suggesting that you don't pray individually, but I do want to just encourage you to come and meet us as we come here and pray corporately. Amen. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. Amen. Also, we're getting ready for Fall Festival, sponsored by youth and youth council, amen, that'll take place this coming Saturday. And so I want to encourage you to help Sister Karen and all those who are working with our youth to make sure our Fall Festival is a wonderful success. Also, don't forget that we're going to be having a forum here on the 28th, Monday the 28th of October, that's going to be for all candidates who are running for office. Again, we're not just inviting Democrats or Republicans, we're inviting everybody, amen. So I want you to help me get the word out, and I want you to come. We need to be informed voters. Amen. And so I want you to know it's some good Democrats, some bad Democrats, some good Republicans, some bad ones too. Amen. And we just need to be informed before we cast our vote. All right. So I want to encourage you to do that as well. And don't forget the NAACP is going to be hosting a statewide conference that's going to be here. Also, that's coming up. I know it's going to be on Saturday, and we have some young people who are going to be speaking at the breakfast who are connected with Gilt Edge. Amen. And we want to support them. And if you need more information, you can see Miss Wilma Sadler Morton before you leave today. Amen. Thank you so much. Always good to see Sister Bell. I just love you. Amen. Praying for you. Amen. Praying for you. And pray for Miss Wilma Smith. I know she had surgery, still recuperating. We want to pray for her and all of those who are sick and sitting. You ready for a word? Amen. Won't you stand to your feet then? Father, in Jesus' name, how we love and thank you today for this time of worship, praise, and fellowship. We pray, God, that you would speak now relevant word into our lives today, God. On this Survivor Sunday, we ask now, God, that you would help us now through your word. We thank you in advance for what you're going to say. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12a. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11 and 12a. English Standard Translation on the screens for our convenience. Again, I'm going to ask that we would read it aloud together. Ready? Read. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Amen. You may be seated in the very presence of the Lord. And as we celebrate Survivor Sunday today, I want to tag this text and remind you today that you are a winner. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I'm a winner. I don't care how you feel, how things may look in your life. I want to remind you, if you are a child of God, unapologetically, I want you to know that you are a winner. Your life may have been marred by failure and mistake, but nonetheless, it doesn't cancel out the fact that you are still a winner. You are a winner. You are a winner. You are a winner. So you've survived many different things. May not have been breast cancer or any other form of cancer for that matter. But the reality is, in the context of your experience, you've survived many things that was by design. It was intended to take you out. But yet still, you are still here. You are a winner. I'm trying to tell you. You are a winner. You got somebody on your side, amen, who's fighting for you. Amen. You are a winner. You are a winner. My brothers and sisters, by way of introduction, the Super Bowl of 2017 was a comeback victory of 25 points by the New England Patriots. Stay with me. They were playing in the Super Bowl against the Atlanta Falcons. It may not have been the largest comeback in NFL postseason history. However, it was certainly a classic comeback of one of the greatest games ever played. Now, you may not be a Patriots fan. But however, both you and I can learn a valuable lesson from that game. Stay with me. Number one, my brothers and sisters, I want us to understand now that the Patriots were losing at halftime. The Falcons 21, the Patriots 3. They were losing at halftime. They went in the locker room. I don't know what Bill Belichick said to the players. However, as coach, I'm sure he said something to motivate them to play better. Stay with me, I'm going somewhere. The second half than they did the first half. The first half wasn't good. But the reality is that the game wasn't over. Because the first half, I feel something, had ended. So there are some principles that we can learn from the New England Patriots. Stay with me. Number one, I believe that we can learn. Watch this. Don't stop playing when you're down. Yeah, it doesn't matter how large the deficit is. It doesn't matter how things may appear. Don't you stop playing. I don't know who I'm talking to in here today, but life for you, things look kind of down. Don't look so good right now for you. But the Lord sent me on divine assignment to speak to you today and remind you, don't you give up. Just because you're down, don't you give up. But not only that, I think we ought to learn from the Patriots, we ought to learn that it's not too late to turn things around. Did y'all hear me? I said it's not too late to turn things around. Keep playing. Trust God. Believe God for a turnaround. Thirdly, real quick, I believe we can learn from the Patriots that you have to tap into the winning spirit on the inside of you. I said, tap into the winning spirit on the inside of you. You're a winner. I don't know what Belichick said to them, but I know he didn't want them to be playing for the name on the back. He wanted them to play for the name on the front. He watch this. I want you to understand, man and woman of God in here today, that you are a winner. Did you know you were created to win? You were created to win. Matter of fact, can I go deeper? You are expected to win. You expected to win. You expected to win. But in order for you and I to win today, my brothers and sisters, I want to remind you, there are some things that we must do even as winners. It starts with saying and reminding myself that I'm a winner, but there are some principles that I must practice as a winner. You with me? It's not enough for me just to tell myself I'm a winner. I have to practice winning principles. That's really where I want to be. That's why we're at this text in here today. Let's look at some principles that winners practice. Are you ready? Let's look at this word. I come locked and loaded in here today. Let's look at this word. Yes, Lord. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. Listen to what Paul, now watch this. Paul is the senior minister, and he's talking to his young son in the ministry, Timothy. Paul is on his way out. Timothy is kind of an upstart, if you will. And so what Paul does is he pauses here to encourage Timothy, because he knows the challenges that's ahead of Timothy. Are you listening to me? And so Paul here pauses to encourage Timothy. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says. Listen to what he says in the A clause, if you will, or A and B clause of verse number 11. He says, "But as for you, O man of God, flee these things." Listen to me carefully. As a winner, there are some things that you and I must flee. That's the first principle. You must flee. As a winner, some things you must flee. You must flee. You must flee. Stay with me. Stay with me. I'm a winner. But watch this. Winner. Now, flee in Greek, for you go. It means run away or shun. There are times when running away is the mark of a coward. But there are other times when fleeing is a mark of wisdom and a means of victory. Did y'all hear me? Yeah, see, there are some situations, some circumstances, some people, some places you need to not run to. You need to run away from. And you need to run away from them because you are a winner. And if you get caught up with certain people, if you get caught up in certain places, come on, talk to me up in here, somebody. Yeah, you're going to get caught up in losing. And so you and I can ill afford to be connected and associated and hang out and run with, I'm trying to help you in here, with certain people. And I don't care what they say. Let them talk about you. You think you better than I am. Yeah, yeah, but watch this here. You living like a loser, but I'm a winner. And my mama taught me about you a long time ago. I'm trying to help you in here. And so, my brothers and sisters, we have to make sure that there are some people, places, and things we flee. You know, I never did understand them as a kid growing up. My mother, you know, she has, man, she would tell me stuff, and man, I'd be like, man, what's wrong with mama? She don't know what's happening. Certain people I want to hang out with, she'd say, boy, no. You don't need to hang out with him. Or she sometimes may have been a female. You don't need to hang out with her. Yeah, she was telling me, flee. Now sometimes, can I be honest with y'all? See, y'all better than me. Sometimes I was hard-headed. Am I the only one in there? Y'all ain't getting no whoopings, did you? Y'all went to timeout. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't listen, but my mother knew that I was a winner. I was a winner, and she knew that there were certain young people that I, as a winner, I didn't need to be hanging out with them. Are you listening to me? And so what Paul was saying here, he was telling Timothy, you need to flee. Let me put it in perspective. All right, let me give you a good example. You remember Joseph? Joseph fled when he was tempted by his master's wife. She wanted Joseph. But Joseph, guess what he did? He didn't run to her. I'm trying to help you. It's some of them you need to run from. Are you listening to me? He fled. This is the principle I believe that Paul is teaching and telling young Timothy. There are cases and instances and situations you need to flee because you're a winner. And you don't need to get caught up. So he says, flee. Stay with me real quick. Watch this, my brothers and sisters. Says you need to flee. Paul here is telling Timothy, flee from all this. Now, what does Paul really mean when he's saying this to Timothy? He's telling Timothy, run from those, the context, run from those false teachers and false teachings. That's the context of the text. He says, you need to run. Because, see, some of them are making it about money. Yeah. Yeah, they love money. And so he said, what you need to do, don't you get caught up in that. He says, what you need to do is flee. You need to run, run. Now watch this. What Paul is really doing is reiterating what he has said in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. In 1 chapter 6, verse 5, he said, and constant friction among people who are depraved and mind and deprived of truth, imagining that godliness is a means of gain. Paul says, flee from that. Flee. Run from false teachers and teaching. Run from it. Don't play with it. Don't hang out with them. Run. Paul was telling Timothy, there are some teachings and there are some people he need to put distance between himself and them. Can I talk to you now, my friends? Well, my friends, what's hindering us from living like, talking like, walking like a winner? What is it that's holding us back? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, that habit, that place, that person, that mindset, that addiction. My brothers and sisters, it's time to flee. Because, see, understand this, church, winning and being a winner comes with responsibility. It comes with responsibility. It's not enough to just say I'm a winner. There are certain winning principles that I must practice. Are you listening to me? The second thing, real quick. The second thing I discovered in this text, Paul tells Timothy to flee. You must flee. But then he says, pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, gentleness. Then he goes on to say, you must follow. Get it? It's all in the text. You must flee. Then he progresses and says, you must follow. He tells him, watch this, he tells him he must flee, but then he tells him what to follow. Now, follow, or in the English Standard Version, it uses the word pursue. King James translation says follow. Now watch this. Follow in Greek, dioko.
Dioko, which means to pursue or to run after or eagerly seek. Paul moves from what he opposes to what he proposes. He moves now with Timothy to tell him what to run away from, to tell him what he needs to be running to. Are you listening to me? And watch this, my brothers and sisters. Not only does Paul have something for Timothy to flee, but he also has something for Timothy to follow. He wants Timothy to follow other more noble things. In the same way that Paul has said in other places in Scripture, he had told the people of God how you need to pull off the old and put on the new. That's what he's talking about. Watch this. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, he's talking about, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, new has come. Watch this, my brothers and sisters. Before Christ, remember this, you was a loser. But in Christ, remember, we are winners. Now watch this. I like this text real quick. Look at the list that Paul shares that he need to follow. You need to be, watch this, remember, follow here means, watch this, to pursue. These are the things Paul says now as a winner, Timothy, Tim, this is what you need to be after. You need, because, get this, because see, you don't follow these things. You don't pursue these things in your flesh. No, he's saying, I'm telling you what you need to be pursuing in the spirit. And see, that's why it's dangerous for us to be just walking after the flesh and what the flesh desires, because the flesh don't desire this list in verse number 11. But when you walk according to the Spirit of God, this is what the Spirit of God will have us to follow. I'm almost done, but watch this. This is good. All right, listen to what he says, and I'm done. Watch this. He says, watch this. He tells him to follow. This is what you ought to follow. This is what you ought to be in pursuit of. This is what you ought to be eagerly seeking. He says, number one, he says, you ought to be seeking righteousness. In other words, he says, seek being right with God and doing the right thing. Flesh don't want to do none of that. Are you listening to me? You got to do this in the spirit. He goes on to say to him, he says, you ought to follow godliness. In other words, he's saying, reverence God and be conscious of God's presence. He goes on to say, he says, you ought to be following and in pursuit of faith. That means keep on believing even when you're down. Help me in it, even when you're sick, even when stuff ain't going right. Watch this. He says, keep believing and be faithful. So have faith and be faithful. Don't know. Come on, watch this here now. Just because you're going through, don't stay at home. Come on out to the fellowship, because God may have a word, and the word that you need that can help you to live another day. I got to quit. But watch this, my brothers and sisters. He says, not only that, but he says, love. But now watch this. This is not that philos or that eros, but this is that agape. Yeah, help me here. He says you need to love. You can't do this in your flesh. He said you got to do this in the spirit. He says now love. He said you need to love God and you need to love your neighbor. In other words, you need to love. But not only that, he says be steadfast. What does that mean? He said it's some stuff you got to endure. You got to endure the stuff that you don't even like, you didn't ask for, but you got to deal with. He says don't give up. Don't throw in the towel. He says you got to endure. But not only that, my brothers and sisters, then he says be meek. Follow meekness. He said, in other words, that's a gentle kind of spirit. You need to have a gentle spirit. That's what Paul is telling Timothy, that winners do these things. These are the things winners follow. All right, I'm done. Lesson's over. Got the last thing I want to tell you, and I'm done. Watch this. He said, you must flee. Then he says, you're a winner. You must flee. But then he says, you must follow. Then the A clause of verse 12. Watch this. Look at what it says. He says, fight the good fight of faith. Do I need to tell you what the third principle is? You must fight. Yeah. You got to fight. You got to fight. I'm through. But he says you got to fight. Fight in the Greek really means to struggle. It means to contend with an adversary. Yeah. Watch this. And now this fight is not a one-time fight. It's an ongoing. It's a continual fight. Have you ever had a fight as a kid? I hope y'all ain't fighting as adults. Have you ever had a fight as a kid? And you may have got the best of them, and then they turn around and tell you, it ain't over. Come on, talk to me. You may got me this time, but I'm coming back for some more. You got to keep, it's continual. And that's what I'm trying, Paul's trying to tell Timothy, the fight you in is a continuous fight. Now, you're a winner, but you got to keep fighting. Do I have any help in here? See, Timothy understood what Paul was really talking about, and I'm done. But Timothy, I believe, understood what Paul was really talking about as it relates to fighting, struggling. Paul was telling Timothy, you can't be timid. No, you can't be no whiner in this thing. No, you can't just be walking around complaining. No, you got to be willing to, help me here, you got to be willing to struggle. You got to be willing. Yeah, you got to be willing to contend. And that's what Paul was telling Timothy. You got to keep fighting. Because my brothers and sisters, I want you to know that the fight sometimes is external. But then the other times, the fight, I wish I had somebody here. Then the other times, the fight is internal. And that's why my brothers and sisters, and I'm through when I tell you, though I'm a winner, I understand that sometimes my greatest battles is not without, but my greatest battle is within. Paul also understood this because I can hear Paul saying, when I would do good, I can hear him saying, evil is always present in me. I wish I had help here. And that's all I come to tell you this morning, church, is that you got to be willing to fight. Did y'all hear me? And sometimes I thank God today for Leandra Johnson. Yeah, yeah, I thank God for the song she sang that reminded me, yeah, about the struggle within. Because Leandra Johnson says, Lord, deliver me from me, because all I seem to do is hurt me. I wish I had help in here. Yeah, but I heard her say, yeah, I'm saying bye-bye to the old me. Did y'all hear me? Because this is my exodus. Did y'all hear me? And I could hear her saying, I'm saying hello to the new me. I heard I said, thank you, Lord. I said, thank you, Lord. Do I have any witnesses in here? And that's all I come to tell you today, church, is that you are a winner. Do I have any help in here? I said, you are a winner, but you got to keep fighting. You got to keep fleeing, and you got to keep following. Do I have any witnesses in here? And I don't care how you got started. I want you to know it's not over till the Lord says it's over. I thank God for Bill Belichick. I don't know what he said to his team, but he inspired them and encouraged them, because at the end of the game, guess who won? They were down at halftime, but the game wasn't over. They won in the end. Do I have any help in here? And I want to tell somebody in here, you are a winner,
and you'll win in the end. But you gotta keep fighting. I said you gotta keep fighting. I said you gotta keep fighting. You might get knocked down, but you gotta keep fighting. The Lord is on your side. You gotta keep fighting. Anybody here determined to keep fighting? Yes.
The doors of the church are open. The doors of the church are open. Just wanna praise you forever and ever and ever for all you've done. Won't you stand? Won't you come? Come on, blessings and glory. Yeah, they are. Won't you come if you're here without a church home? Paul, come on, everybody, just want to praise you. How long won't you come? You done. Won't you come? Make Jesus your choice. Guilt edge your home. Won't you come? We're waiting for you. They all. Come on, one more time. One more time. Lift your voice. I want them to hear us in Greenwood. Come on. I can't hear you. That's it. Oh, for all. Come on, blessings and glory. God bless you. You may take your seats. You may take your seats. You may take your seats. God bless you. God bless you. Listen, next Sunday we're having Family and Friends Sunday again. This month, our focus has been on who's your one. I pray that you've been talking to individuals about accepting Christ, coming to church. And I want next Sunday, the fourth Sunday, I want us to bring our family and friends to share with us. Evangelism is something that's really not a one-time or one-month situation. It's ongoing. God expects us to reproduce as believers. He wants us to witness to others that they too may be saved, and those that we know who are backslidden or disconnected from church, some of them still may be saying guilt edges their home, but they're not attending and they're sitting at home. I want you to exert an exerted effort this week to get them to church next Sunday. Amen. Bring them to worship with you next Sunday. Amen. God bless you. Don't forget, we are a tithing church.